Welcome to the Journey Together podcast with Joshua and Anna Gresham.
Hey, you guys, it's a beautiful day. I think I just crossed my eyes at my microphone. We have a cross-eyed cat, if you didn't know that. Probably you didn't. I don't know. Why would we even talk about Mary the cross-eyed cat?
I can't believe we're opening up the podcast with the cross-eyed cat comment.
I know. Hey, it's a great day.
You know what? That actually, that leads me to, I got asked to open up prayer for the local business, what's it called?
When you
Chamber
of Commerce?
The Chamber of Commerce. And there was like, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people there. And they asked for me for an introduction. And the introduction was basically, you know, husband to a wonderful wife named Anna and all my children, and then obviously being a pastor here at Trailhead Church. And what was funny was I added in there that I owned a cross-eyed cat named Mary. And even the guy who was introducing me was like, for some reason, he wants me to mention his cross-eyed cat, which made you laugh hysterically.
I laughed so hard. Yeah. It made me so happy.
And so then the reason why I did it was to make her laugh. So when I got up there to the podium, I made that comment. I said, I will take every opportunity I can to make my wife laugh. And so then that's how we started. So that really opens up the gateway to today of the message title. I want to make sure I say it correctly. The Ultimate Guide to Giving and Receiving Encouragement. And I wrote at the top, to stop being so serious with your wife and to make her laugh. And so that is like my goal of, I want to make Anna laugh. I think we get into that rut of so much serious. And then because so many things are serious. I mean, I'm not making light of all of that. Our work, our life, our kids, all these responsibilities. But it's like, we got to laugh. And that encouragement and all of the different words of affirmation, all of those kind of things, the need for touch, the need for affection, all of that encouragement is so, so important.
I think you've got to recognize what you need from your spouse with encouragement and what your spouse needs from you. We've had that conversation often over our now 20 years of marriage of what you need from me, what I need from you, what works, what doesn't work. It's interesting, in our title, we talk about giving and receiving. I know people that give really good encouragement, and then the moment you try to encourage them, they're like, no, I'm the worst. And I've gone through that, where I've struggled, you know, after having kids, and I nursed kids forever, and my body changed, and all these things, and you would tell me so many lovely encouraging words. And I feel like even during that time, if I would give you an encouraging word, but then the moment you came back and loved on me, I'd be like, no, that's not true. As we walk through this podcast, if that's you, you're not alone. If you have a hard time receiving encouragement, you're not alone with that. But that is something that God wants to help us with.
Yeah, for sure.
And you were even like, hey, I need you to stop it. And you need to start receiving encouragement from me, because it's a part of our joy together.
Yeah.
I was essentially putting a roadblock to your love with that, you know? Like, that was how you were loving on me. So it's essentially me going, no, you're a liar.
Yeah, I
don't believe you. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to receive that love aspect from you to me. So then you would get offended by it. Like, no, I'm telling you the truth. Why can't you just receive this? And often we can't receive encouragement because of our inner dialogue.
Yeah.
Which I think is a great segue into the root of all encouragement or discouragement. What are your thoughts towards yourself and towards others? Right?
Right. And I think that I learned this at a pastor's retreat, and it's obviously rung true here recently for the, you know, and it's that we can't love our neighbors well because we don't love ourselves well, because we don't know the Father's love for us, or we're not willing to accept the Father's love for us. So all of that kind of ties in to back to the root of receiving that identity from Christ, not from the outside world, defining yourself. Because, for instance, the outside world has defined how our beauty is. all the squishy parts. So you're sitting in the mirror, squishy parts, and you're pinching all these parts, and you're going, I am not good enough. I don't look good enough. I don't have the strict routine as, you know, Brad Pitt or such and such, you know, actor or model. And then you pinch. And then when your spouse says, honey, you look good, it's so hard for you to receive it because you've defined yourself by the world and not by just the goodness of God saying, I love you.
And it might not even be physical things. Often it's our intelligence.
Yep.
Where someone has put you down, told you you weren't good enough. Maybe it is even your background where you have felt devalued through, I mean, words hurt, all right? And we have to make a choice to allow the Lord to restore and heal that hurt,
mm-hmm.
And encourage ourselves in God of knowing, God, you love me, you're for me, and I need to receive every bit of your love, your new mercies, your faithfulness, your goodness. One way to do that on a daily basis is by getting into the Word of God and feasting on the bread of life. Are you feasting on the bread of sorrow, the bread of shame, the bread of condemnation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Past hurts, past failures, faults? Or are you choosing to go to the Lord and say, God, I know that you have something so good for me today? And that's a question I've had to ask myself, especially when it comes to encouragement, because what you place deep in your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So it goes through your mind, you plant it in your heart, and then you speak it out. You're going to have to make a choice to take those thoughts captive, recognize that they're you have life-giving thoughts or life-stealing thoughts. And then we have one weapon, and I feel like we talk about this all the time, but you guys, this is all of us. This is daily living with Jesus, that he has given you the full armor of God to stand against the wiles or the strategies of Satan. And you're going to have to take the sword of the Spirit, and whatever you're dealing with that discouragement, you combat it with Scripture from God's Word. And then you place it deep in your heart. I have to do that. I do this all the time. I'm not telling you anything that I don't have to do. And I feel like you and I were just having this conversation of really releasing things to God and receiving from him what we need. And it's going to come through his word and encouragement from his word of just how good he is in our lives. If we don't do that, do you feel that you'll stay stuck in the fault-finding rut of life?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because it's back to the heart of it all, of where are you getting your supply from? And that's the thing. I mean, you know, if it's not from him, then what? Who's it from? And therefore, you're going to be disappointed. He doesn't disappoint.
Okay, are you talking, let's ask this question. Are you continually talking about faults? Faults in your spouse, faults in yourself, faults in your children? It's a great evaluation.
Sure.
Are you focused on past hurts, or have you actually allowed God to help you move forward in forgiveness? These are conversations that you and I have often, especially when, you know, when you go through marriage things. Let's talk to all the married people right now. When you've worked through something hard and then you've not really, you've released it, but you still, it's lingering, right? You're still thinking about the fault or the hurt, and then something else comes up, and then before you know it, it starts to build. And if you don't take care of it, then it's going to turn into a wall in your marriage. And you don't want that. So you've got to make a decision to focus on the blessing and not the fault.
I'm going
to
ask you a very hard question.
Okay.
But it's a revealing question. And it's a revealing question because it could put your, and you have to make sure you ask your spouse.
Are you asking me this
question? I'm going to ask you, yes. I'm going to ask you this question. But you got to ask your spouse this question in a way that there is a proper time for this. Don't blindside them. I'm going to blindside you. But it's in a proper setting because we're talking about it. So don't just be, you know, and then you can't hold anything against them. This is for the value of getting to a communication level of understanding.
I'm ready.
What is the most favorite thing that you love and enjoy about when I compliment you?
Okay. The most favorite thing that I love and enjoy.
That was a really weird way of wording it, but I'm trying to think of a better question.
I know. I'm processing that in my brain.
When I compliment you.
What do I love most about it?
Yeah. Like, what is that particular thing? That's like, I love it when you tell me that I'm smart. I love it when you tell me like this. Like, you're like, I love this. I love it when you tell me these things.
Okay. I've got a couple things. Okay. I can answer this very truthfully. You love on me in an encouraging way. It's not always words. It's through gifts that support God's purpose in my life.
Okay.
And if I say, hey, I'm going to write a book, then you've given me books on how to write a book. You're going to go buy me a brand new computer. You're going to buy me everything that I need. You're going to buy me a power suit. I was like, hey, I've got this conference I'm speaking at. Before you know it, you buy me a power suit so I could feel powerful.
Right.
That is such encouragement to me that you're willing to invest in me. Mm-hmm. So I think let's look at encouragement in different categories. You have words. I'll address that in a second. But then you also have gifts that... and you're going to spend, there's a sacrifice to this. Like, you're going to do something or an act of service, something that comes alongside. And that for me is very valuable and extremely special because it means, oh, Josh believes in me.
Okay. So you receive it.
I receive it. Okay. And these are things I would not buy for myself.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Especially us having 4 kids. Like, it's not on the top of my list and I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And you'll splurge and do it for me. And that's huge.
I think maybe in asking the question, because I was blindsiding you with it, but because we're talking about this, you were prepared in an essence of what you were going to say in the sense of like, it's encouraging. Because we said, before we ever turned on the camera, let's talk about encouragement. Let's talk about how to give, how to receive. So you're thinking that. But I would venture to say, and agree or disagree with me, that a lot of spouses will ask their spouse today, and say, hey, what is it that you love when I give you encouragement? What is it? I would say that they will be in denial. Like, well, you tell me I'm pretty, but I don't feel that way. Like, they're going to say that. You tell me I'm smart, but I'm not smart. Or you tell me that you love this about me.
And they're going to have a negative that counteracts the positive.
Yes, yeah, I believe that to be true. I think that's going to be more often than none. So how would you go about... taking the root of that out? Like, what would you suggest for the person who says that, like, I'm not, you say I'm smart, okay, but I'm not, or whatever.
I want to ask you, and this is something that I've asked myself, why are you not believing that about yourself?
Yeah, that's good.
Why? Get to the why of
yep.
it. You need to get to the root of this. And I mean, we're huge. We talk about this often, but we're huge in talking about honesty. You need to get honest with yourself of the why behind the insecurity and then to begin to take that to the Lord and allow him to build who you are in Christ Jesus in your own heart. We renew our minds with the word. The greatest gift that my parents gave me growing up was teaching me who I was in Christ Jesus. And that on those days where I was unhappy with me and I didn't feel my best, I knew that God loved me and that he was my biggest fan, you know? That was the greatest gift, and my security is found in him. We're always going to have days that we feel like trash. That's life. But to know that God loves you and that in the middle of all of that, he has new mercies to pick you up out of whatever dumpster you've thrown yourself in or whatever life has thrown your way or whatever insecure thought you've been meditating on, you know? To know the Father's love and that Jesus truly paid the ultimate sacrifice so that I can have life in abundance is everything to me. You say, well, how do I go about learning and knowing that? My parents didn't teach me that. I'm new to this. What does this look like? This is having that talk with yourself of, am I a disciple of Christ? Am I following after Jesus? And if so, what does my daily devotion look like? What do my thoughts look like? Do I have a revelation that I've got the mind of Christ? Do I need to hook up with someone and get discipled? Have I put church on the back burner so I'm not feasting at the Lord's table on a regular basis? Are you walking around just having little nuggets of truth everywhere but never really having a transformative moment with the Lord. These are good evaluations.
Sure, those are great.
In our life, and we need to evaluate. So something else that on words with encouragement that you've done for me. You guys, I gained what, like almost 90 pounds my first pregnancy, then like 70 something my second, then another 90 pounds my third. And then my fourth, I was in my 30s, and my grandma was like, listen, you don't want to lose another 90 pounds. Get it together. And I was like, all right. All right, Mama. Thank you. I was very hard on myself. I did not have a 90-pound baby. So that meant...
Wow.
Whenever I had that baby, it was challenging as a female because you're like, oh, crud. I got a lot of work ahead of me. And nothing fits, and it's hard, and, you know, you're tired, and you get milk everywhere. I don't know. It's all crazy. Just paint that picture.
Wow. Anyway, we're going descriptive.
It's real life.
Yes.
You looked at me, and you're like, baby, I like big girls. You've always made me just feel like that you love me no matter what size I am. And no matter what shape and no matter the stretch marks or the sagging or whatever that looks like, that is huge. I would like to encourage any spouse that if you have not told your spouse that you love their body, you're not going to miss it telling them that.
Yeah.
You're not going to miss it by telling them they're the sexiest person alive. You're not going to miss it. Our children, you know, through puberty, y'all know, middle school, things are interesting in your body in middle school. And our kids have had moments where they're like, oh my gosh, look at this, or I look this.
No,
or,
it's all this body shaming, for
and
sure.
I'm so thankful that you and I come in and we're like, your body's awesome. You look super great. Hey, you got, and I'll say, you got the cutest body ever. And like they want their mom to tell them that, these boys, but I'm going to tell them just how handsome for my boys and how beautiful my daughter, and just encourage that they are healthy and strong.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very valuable. I don't think you can outdo it.
No,
I don't think you
can't.
There's never a topper or a limit on how you bless your spouse, how you bless your children. A great scripture for this is found in Proverbs 31. And you guys, this is extremely valuable for each of us. And there's something for each of us in this. In Proverbs 31 and verse 28, it says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. That is an actual open invitation for husbands and children to bless the wife or their mom with their words.
Yeah.
That you go, I'm going to praise you for cleaning the house, for taking me, you know, what, I don't know, y'all, the list. I don't even need to mark down this list. But you know how good it makes me feel when I primarily cook, whenever I'm told, hey, I love this meal. This is great. Mom, thank you for cooking, or thank you for doing this, or whatever it is, just day-to-day things. That's huge.
Yeah.
Then for the female within this scripture, if you jump up to verse 26, it says she opens her mouth with wisdom and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Ladies, we're not to be silent and just soak up all the praise, you know, like lavish me with praise.
Right.
You're going to have to make a decision to go, God, I thank you for liberal amounts of wisdom. Help me to sow into my spouse just what they need to hear to encourage them, to help them feel like they're doing a great job.
Yeah. I think there's a misconception that men are just kind of a hard shell, not needing this type of encouragement, love, affection. But that's actually not true. I know a lot of men who appreciate it. And there might be a hard shell at first due to past hurts, pain or whatever it may be, but you can crack that shell and open them up to encouraging. And so I would start that process of cultivating, tilling the soil and making it happen, because men do want to be loved on. They want that affection. They want to be told that they look good, and they want to be told that, you know, whatever pet names you want to give them, but they want those things. And I would encourage you that if you think maybe your man doesn't, I'm telling you, he does. So make it happen. Okay. Now, so, you know, we talked about words of encouragement. We talked about acts of encouragement, and then obviously this process of receiving these things. You know, I say this word, this particular verse all the time, Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue.
They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you recognize that position of importance of speaking life, that it's not destruction, you want to become an encourager all the time. Like, make it a daily devoted process in your life of not only are you sending it to your spouse, but it's the people around you, your coworkers, just random strangers. It opens up so much door of opportunity, and honestly, for the move of God, because it tears down walls. It gives you the ability to speak into people's lives and speak God's goodness. So that's why life and death are in the power of the tongue. You're speaking life, and you're bringing boldness into people. I saw a youth last night. We were in youth, and he was shy. And I walked up to him alone, and I said, "Hey, there's a calling on your life, man. There is something really magnetic about you, and you shouldn't be shy. You don't need to be shy. You are an amazing, you know, child of God, and you have a purpose. Do not be shy." And, you know, I could sense a sense of warmth, not a lot. I'm not going to over-exaggerate this just to create a story. But I know for a fact I peeled away or chipped away that hard shell of insecurity and doubt. You continue to build that foundation. I want to continue to seek after that particular youth and continue to just sow into their life. People need to hear it. People need that encouragement. It brings a warmth. My mother-in-law is the best at it.
Number one.
Wherever we're at, she's going to tell somebody some type of a word of encouragement. And whether it's just something on the outward, something on the inward, she's going to pull it out and she's going to love on them. And it's such a wonderful trait about my mother-in-law, because I genuinely feel that she is my biggest fan.
Yeah.
And it's due to the fact of what she says and does. Her joy of when I come into the room and she lights up is encouraging. She didn't even have to say anything, but just her excitement for me being in the room is very encouraging.
We started off with this, of you saying you wanted to make me laugh. I think that's a great example, even with your children, with your spouse, with your friends. Do you light up? You have the light of Christ living inside of you. Let's get real scriptural here.
Yeah.
If you're dealing with dark thoughts, if you're dealing with fault finding, if you're maybe you've gone through a fault finding challenging season, and you need healed up, today is your day for those chains to be broken in Jesus' name, and you start to heal so that you can express the light of Christ to those around you.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, I think of this, of everything you're saying, of how valuable it is to speak life. You guys, we're not just saying this. This is the power of Christ at work. This is resurrection power at work, whenever you speak out the word of God and speak out the love of Jesus into someone. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24 says, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones." Do you want to bring that into your home? That's a great evaluation. Have you been bringing that? Do you want, my mom, you know why she does all of this? She actually went before the Lord and she said, "God, I want to encourage people. Help me." So whatever you desire from God, a few years ago, I said, "Lord, I want to grow in generosity." He has given me opportunity after opportunity to grow in generosity.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever it is that you're wanting to grow in, if you go to the Lord and ask for help with it, he'll give you an opportunity to grow in it. And now it just flows like living water out of her soul, because she just operates in that encouraging anointing everywhere she goes.
Yeah.
It's really a testimony of Jesus.
But isn't there's an attractiveness to this.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I want to be around people, not to receive it, not like some narcissist, like I want somebody championing me on. But there is an attractiveness to be around somebody who is complimentary, who is loving, who genuinely cares, not fake, and they just want to be a nurturer. I mean, that's really a wonderful trait. And so that's an attractiveness. If you find yourself all alone, maybe that's a sign for you to go, I'm alone. Maybe it might be that I'm not an encourager. And maybe it's due to the fact you can't even see any goodness in yourself because you just allow the world to define you. And so I have 3 points here that's going to help with this. And I think the first one that we've been talking about is protecting your mind, protecting your heart. Mm-hmm. And that goes back to knowing your identification in Christ Jesus. And by protecting those things, not listening to the world, turning off the images that you see, all of the different discouragements of not good enough, the competitiveness, the idea of comparison, we know that that's not good. So all of that being turned off, then you're protecting yourself and just going to the Father and sitting in His understanding of who you are, saying, Lord, reveal to me. That protection is massive because from that reservoir that you're receiving from your Father, you're going to be able to pour out into others, and they're going to sense the genuine nature of it. So my mother-in-law, as we use her as the example, I know her walk with the Father. Like, she is a spiritual intercessor. So I know, like, she's a prayer warrior.
Yeah.
I know where it's coming from, that it's real. It's not just made up or whatever. So that's encouraging, and that's attractive where I go, I want to be around her. When I come across people, it's so funny. I'm at all kinds of different places. And when they find out that my mother-in-law is Bonnie, they'll go, oh my gosh, I love her. She's the nicest, the best. And I go, I know, right? There's an attractiveness to this.
I feel like people say that about you too.
Well, thank you.
They do, 100%. Nice they do.
I receive it from Bonnie.
She passed it on to
you. She did. She pours my cup.
I want to ask you a question before you get to point two. What is something that I'm going to put you on the spot, that I can work on and how I encourage you? Let's do it.
Oh, no way.
Yes. What's something I could work on?
I can't.
It's a great question that you would like more of.
Everyone knows that's thing of like,
No. What is something that I can give more of in encouragement for you?
I don't know. You do a wonderful job at telling me how good I am as a pastor. Like, you do a fantastic job. And I'm thankful because I don't have to fish for it. And I'm thankful for that. Like, I don't have to fish for compliments from you and be like, hey, how am I doing? Or what's this? Like, when I come off from preaching a message and, you know, we can't hit home runs every single weekend. And that's not the point. We know that. Our ministries, the ministry of Charlotte Church, doesn't live and die by my messages. But I know that there's time put into these messages, and therefore there's some heart involved, there's spiritual sides of it involved. All of that to say, when I come off the stage, you're quick to say, that was so good. I got this point from it. I got this nugget from it. And it's always reassuring of like, okay. And I don't need to go anywhere else. And that's a key part too, by the way, of trying to find compliments from other people. And that's where people get in trouble. And I don't feel that need to get it from other sources. You are my source.
That's a huge point.
Yes. So you're my source. So you do a great job at that. So
that's even for your children if you have kids.
Yes. Don't let them be getting their...
Oh, my gosh. Encouragement from the wrong spirit.
Yes. Because the influence is way more powerful than authority. If all you're giving is authority in your families, you're missing it. Because that influence you have on your kids is bigger than you anticipate or think. So you've got to be more intentional with
hugs and love. You say, my teenagers don't want me to hug them. I don't care.
Time spent.
You hug and kiss and love.
Yep. We force family time a lot of times because there's so many things pulling them away. Video games, whatever. Whatever. So we pull them into us. But you, to answer your question, I'm always going to want more affection and more touch.
Yeah.
Because
it encourages you.
It just makes me feel warm and wanted. Yeah. So that's, I always want that. I want more butt grabs from you.
Like right now?
Yeah, I want you to grab my butt right now. Those are, that's nice to want that. Just in, it's like makes you feel good to want that. Like I want you to know that I always want to kiss you.
Yeah.
Like I want those things. Like I want to kiss you. So I'm going to kiss you all the time. I'm going to shower you with kisses. And that is a form of encouragement for me because I just love you. I'm so much. Like, yeah. So
I'm going to do it.
Sweet. Anyway.
Did we move into PG-13? Is that what's happening? Okay.
So part two, or sorry, point two is be intentional. So for first one, protect your mind and your heart. Protect it from the outside source to getting into the real source, which is our Heavenly Father. But then be intentional. So start the process of, you know, I don't feel like I want to encourage right now or even be able to receive the encouragement, but be intentional to receive the encouragement, to give the encouragement, be it genuine, be it real. Don't just blanket with a cheesy cliche statement like, I love your face.
Or like a backhanded encouragement.
Oh gosh, no, please don't do that. Yes. Yeah,
I don't even want to give you an example because you're like, you're mean. That actually comes from a mean heart.
Yeah.
You're mean.
There's a bitter.
You got a root of bitterness if you're giving backhanded compliments.
Yeah. But that's being intentional is important. That, you know what? I'm going to, and being intentional, even though I said don't be cliche or don't be cheesy with it. So I know it kind of might sound contradictory because I'm saying, hey, maybe make it a point to do three encouragements every day. So therefore, then it feels forced. But if you're ready to go, I want to encourage my children today. How do I plan on doing it? That I don't feel like is cliche or cheesy or forced, but I think that you're realizing the importance of it and you're going to do it. So process that.
Does it always have to be face-to-face? Do you feel like text messages work? Cards work? Emails work?
There are scales. So face-to-face is always going to be the best because it's eye-to-eye contact. It's emotion of feeling.
Yeah.
Text messages are great, but we get so many text messages that it's like red flip. Because, I mean, how many of you are actually laughing out loud when you put LOL on it?
Okay, but I really do enjoy getting, because a lot of people aren't phone people. They don't want you to call them and tell them something right now. The people are busy.
Phone calls are down the low.
I love getting encouraging text messages that are sincere. And I get them often from ladies at the church. And it blesses my heart.
Yes.
Like, so I do feel that, and that I can't see them face-to-face that week. We're talking about, sure, if you can be face-to-face, that's wonderful. But if this is someone you know you can't see, and you're thinking, should I text them this? Yes.
Yes. I think that the question's good because it varies between the relationship with the person. If it's someone you see more often face-to-face, then the encouragement needs to be face-to-face. If it's someone you see sparingly, and what you can do is a text, then do a text. But because it's just, because it's really ridiculous to me that I would send you a text at 1 p.m. and say, hey, I want you to know, I think you're beautiful and you're just really wonderful. And I really appreciated what you did today. Word of encouragement, right? But then I come home at 5:30 and then I'm like, ugh, bleh, I'm tired. Yeah. And it's like, that text was super sweet sounding, but now you're like tired and blah. I would rather not send you a text and then in face to face be like, man, I love you. So I think that's maybe read the room and understand the relationship. Because when I have friends, pastor friends of mine, and randomly they'll text and be like, hey, thinking about you, dude. Want to let you know, man. Listen to your message, great message. Gosh, I loved hanging out with you a few weeks ago or whatever. Thanks, you know.
Sweet cards. I love sweet cards.
Yes.
I love to give sweet cards.
Yes.
I'm glad we clarified all of that and what that looks like. Also, receiving gifts.
Yes.
That's a part of encouragement.
Surprise and delight someone with a gift.
Goodness gracious. Someone blessed us the other day, $20. It was Pentecostal handshake for us to get coffee on one of our Friday dates. And it was so sweet.
Yeah.
And in a moment where the Lord knew I just needed a sweet gift and I want to do that for someone else. This isn't gimme, gimme, gimme. How can you then reciprocate that to someone else as well? Right. That this is like, I feel like encouragement should be this continual.
Yeah, you can't be flow. A stagnant pond.
No,
this it's a goes continual back flow. To the seed time and harvest understanding and knowing that what God has provided for you is for you to be a conduit for others as well.
Yeah.
So everybody is filling this in, yeah, and you sure. continue to go. Stagnant pond, obviously, it's smelly and nasty. So then that third point here is, I love, you said it, you can't over-encourage. Like, don't think, I've encouraged them last week, I encouraged them yesterday. It's like,
that's enough. I'm putting a lid on it.
Right. No. I'm done encouraging. They're not giving back. I wouldn't stop.
Oh, yeah.
Like that idea.
Huge. Okay, I've got a great example for this. A couple years ago, I'm coaching track, working with a high school track team, and we had some challenging days where the kids were not encouraging each other. Remember, I came home and I was like, Josh, I need a plan. This is wild right now. Like, these kids are not nice. Cuss words everywhere. I mean, it was next level. So I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want you to over-encourage these kids, like over the top. And I said, all right, I can do that. And I'm pretty hardcore coach. You know, I'm going to make you run till you barf. I don't have that issue. But that wasn't what the Lord told me to do. He said, I want you to get in there and just pour the love of Jesus onto them. Over-encourage. So we had a day. I had all of the girls introduce themselves to each other, because I realized a lot of them don't even know each other. And then we started our runs for the day, our sprints for the day. And I said, okay, every time a group gets up to run, you're going to cheer and call out their name.
That's good.
And tell them what a great job they're doing. Yep. I said, I want it to be crazy. So it was a breakthrough day, breakthrough. And the head coach, he goes, what is happening? He goes, I want to be with you guys. And I was like, coach, we had a breakthrough. I said, the Lord told me to over-encourage, and these girls need to get to know each other, and I needed to help them see what encouragement looked like. One of the girls, a couple weeks later, she goes, Coach Gresham, you kind of sound like a podcast, like a really good podcast. I said, I'll take that as a compliment, because I wanted to get in and just let them know how loved they were. A lot of people,
they don't know it.
They're not getting that.
They do not
on a day
it.
In and day out. Mm-mm. It was a game changer.
Yeah.
You can't put a lid on it, you guys.
No, you
take
can't.
The lid off. Take the limitations off what God wants to do. Ask him how you can encourage others in a greater measure.
Yeah. I feel like in wrapping this podcast up, I would do it injustice if I didn't ask this question, because everyone who's listening is probably thinking, Josh, you have to ask her, what can I do to encourage you more, that you would like to have more?
I feel like that I gave great examples of what you do for already. I know we're talking about more things. I think if there's anything that I've struggled with this past year, has been parenting all the teenagers, where there's moments that I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing right now.
And you're doing an excellent job.
I think when you pray with me over parenting moments, it's huge encouragement in my life.
So, okay.
You can't ever not pray for me enough right now.
All right. More intentional prayer time
moments.
And
when you like say, hey, I'm going to pray over you right now, and you actually like, you have put your hand on me. You put your hand on my head a few weeks ago and prayed over me when I had racing thoughts at night. And, That's encouragement.
That's good.
It's huge. You
it's
can't
good to know.
Just pray for me every day. Just pray.
You should ask. That's so good though. I think it was so, that is nice. I'm so glad how you responded. This wasn't, and I don't think I responded this way either, that we both encouraged each other on how we could encourage each other.
Right.
So it wasn't like, I need more of this from you. I need you to do that. So it's like, be
you
careful.
Suck.
Right. You no. suck at doing this. It's like, being that for each other is so nice.
We're not fault finding. We're celebrating who we are individually and how we can grow in that.
Right. So I would encourage you to ask your spouse those questions. Ask, what could I encourage you more in that you would you feel like I am here with you, that I'm your biggest fan? Like, what can I do? So ask that out, okay? Hey, if you like today's podcast, share it, like it, subscribe, all of those good things. Guys, we are so thankful you are listening. And we love getting all the different little messages and
encouragements.
Encouragements from everyone that I didn't know was listening to this.
Yeah, we have super cool.
Random fun friends that are listening, and it was so cool to just hear that. So
it is. We love y'all. We appreciate it.
Yeah, guys, have a good one.